Hello again, and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Yoss Radio Network. And if you're listening on Bobway Media, you'll recognize this program as the Uncensored Dads and the Uncensored Word podcast. Not really a podcast anymore, more of a program, as we're looking at about, closer to about 50 minutes in length. But with me, as always, is Brother Matthew Olson from the Chipman Road Congregation there in Lee's Summit, Missouri, and myself, Russ Earl, from the Ooligah Church of Christ here in Ooligah, Oklahoma. And we thank you for tuning in today and for listening, whether you're listening through Bobway Media or through the Gospel Radio Network. We are continuing our lesson looking at the Christian responsibilities towards self. You may remember last time how we talked about, we answered the question, you know, what do you think of yourself, and are you perfect or flawed in your own mind? We discussed 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. And we also talked about a little bit about self-image and self-esteem. And today we're picking up looking at the idea of ego. And ego is defined as a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. And really, my thing about this idea of ego is very similar to me about our self-image. It's really about how we perceive ourselves. Again, the definition is a person's sense of self-esteem or self-importance. And really, we think about these types of things, we have to be, you know, we think about, as we talked about last week, self-image, self-esteem, and now ego. All these things are very similar, so they're going to be very closely knit together in how and how we view ourselves, how we treat ourselves, how we think about ourselves. You know, we probably have an image of ourselves in our mind, and really that's kind of what we have here, this image of who we are. And I think about here, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, where the Bible says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." That is, you know, consider how we are talking, but also really with in reference to what we're talking about here today. Also, the idea of keeping, you know, considering how we view ourselves. You know, if we're always down on ourselves, if we are overly critical on ourselves, you know, our self-esteem is just going to be very, very low. Our self-image is very, very low. Our ego, or, you know, the way we view ourselves is going to be very, very, very low. And so we have to think about how we view ourselves. And we want to be positive people, but at the same time, we don't want to be arrogant people. Here in Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, the Bible says, "For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are things which defile a man, but he with unwashed hands defileth not a man." Now, again, out, you know, the evil thoughts. No, it's evil thoughts, and he lists several of these things, but keeping in context what we're talking about, evil thoughts can take shape in how we view ourselves, our self-esteem, our ego, and our image. If we think badly about ourselves all the time, then naturally we're going to have this very low opinion of ourselves. And sometimes, thanks to the worldly people around us, and thanks to the media and how Hollywood thinks we ought to live and how we ought to look and all these types of things, we can allow ourselves to have a very low view of ourselves. And we should do our very best to keep that from happening, because I think in many ways, yes, that is evil of us, and it can become an evil thing, because we start trying to measure ourselves by the world's standards of who they say we should be in various aspects of life. And what's interesting about that also is that really has no age limit. It doesn't matter if you're young, if you're college age, if you're what we call a young adult, you know, someone who's married or something like that, or if you're getting older, that doesn't change. Everyone struggles with those types of things. They don't change, because we want to have, you know, we view ourselves in a certain way, and we want others to view us in a certain way as well. But we have to consider that. Before we go any further, I'm going to stop for a moment and let Brother Matt add anything he'd like as we continue looking at this idea of ego. Brother Matt?
Yeah, talking about ego, I mean, some people also think that pride is your ego, right? Like, ego and pride go hand in hand. Proverbs 16:18 says, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." You know, we need to take into account our actions all times. Pride can get in the way, and, you know, it is sometimes called ego. And I think in Proverbs 4:23, what Solomon was kind of saying was, we need to guard our hearts above all else and kind of concentrate on the desires that will keep us on the right path. Keep your eyes fixed on a goal. Because out of your heart comes many things. Out of your heart comes kindness, love, care. But it also comes all these things that were listed in Matthew 15, you know. But the thing is we need to, what do they say, keep your ego in check, right, sometimes. Most times. I think that's a very big thing. And if you have a big ego and you're full of yourself, are people going to want to listen to you? Are people going to want to listen to what you have to say? That's another thing that we have to keep in check is are we keeping our pride and our ego in check, basically? That's the main thing, and not get too, well, look at me. Just like take, for example, this podcast or any podcast you do or something, and say it gets a lot of likes and it's building up, or you get on Facebook and you have a lot of likes on your things and you're like, oh man, this is really taking off. And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty good at what I do, you know, and people are saying, hey, you're doing a good job, you know, hey, you know what? It's something like a buddy told me is, yeah, you can take those compliments, but it's what are you going to do? Are you going to sit back and relish in it and be like, yeah, look at me? Or are you going to build upon those things? That's what we need to do. We need to build upon those things. Build upon and keep your ego in check. Build upon your knowledge of the Bible each and every day. But just keep your ego in check. So back to you, Russell.
You know, when you think about, like you said, this idea of keeping our ego in check, you know, it's interesting to me, so many athletes, you know, that are all over the news and are all over ESPN, and yet there's so many that are not. You have those who are great athletes, and yet you don't hear much about them because I think part of it is they keep out of the line of fire as far as the media goes. I think part of it is because they keep their ego in check. Those who are many times are in the front lines of things. Not always the case. Sometimes it's just because they're talent and they're being traded or this, that, and the other. But sometimes guys with big mouths and big egos get out there because they have a big mouth and a big ego. You know, I don't know everything there is to know about him, but I know one player, he used to play for the Cavaliers. And I forget where he's at now because he's moved around a few times. A man by the name of Kyle Korver. He's probably one of the best three-point shooters in the NBA. But you don't hear a whole lot about him. And one day I looked it up, and you know, he's on Instagram or whatever. And he had posted some things about, you know, charity he was trying to help and this, that, and the other. And, yeah, he's put it out on social media. But you know what? What's interesting is you say, well, you know, how's he doing that quietly? Well, he's not making a huge, huge ordeal about it. You know, he had a lot of stuff that was going on even back when, you know, the Cavaliers were in the playoffs. I think it was when his family members had passed away right before the finals began, those types of things. And he didn't hear about any of that until after. And I say all that to say that he kept things very low key, very private. He didn't try to make everything, you know, a big deal. Not that losing a loved one isn't a big deal, but he didn't use those things to get his name out there on the forefront of things. He kept himself in check. He kept, like Matt said, you know, his ego in check, which is one of the reasons why he's probably one of my more favorite players. Though, even though I don't know where he's even at right now, but I do know he's still in the NBA. But, you know, there's a lot of guys like that, and even some actors you don't hear a whole lot about because they don't have enough drama in their lives to, you know, get on the front page. You know, there's a lot of people, you think about, you watch a movie and then go out and you look at some of the magazines, you realize, you know what, I've never seen this person on this magazine. I've never seen them on any of these types of things before. It's because, you know, they probably work hard at keeping that away. But anyway, you know, like Brother Matt's saying, that has a lot to do with keeping our ego in check and recognizing, you know, what's important in life. It's not allowing things to go to our head. Compliments or people thinking it's a good job, you know, it can be easy to allow that to feed you. You know, I've heard, you know, I know of some individuals, and I include preachers in this, who work very hard to try to build a name for themselves. And in all reality, it doesn't matter. You know, I've heard people introduce someone before and they talk about, you know, they've done this many meetings and this many states, and that's fine. They won't talk about it. But there are some individuals who tell you that when they're getting ready to speak, they tell you, you know what, you don't have to give me any introduction. Just say, this is Brother so-and-so, and then sit down if you want to, you know, those types of things. Because it doesn't really matter. Yeah, you have those who you can tell that they want that big introduction. They want to talk about all the things they've done. And while those things are good, that is not, the purpose is not to have someone else, you know, brag upon us, but we want to keep our ego in check. And it's hard to say we're trying to keep our ego in check if we're thriving upon others talking good about us. And moving on to our next point here, looking at this idea of, you know, moving past self-esteem and these other things, you're looking now at taking inventory of yourself. And I like that way that is phrased, because we do have to take inventory. When you think about, you know, our lives before God, you look at John 15, verses 5 and 8. Here the Bible says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye may bear much fruit, so ye shall be my disciples. That's John 15, 5 through 8, or 5 and verse 8, rather. And so, taking inventory of yourself, you know, are we abiding in Christ? Are we doing those things which are pleasing to God? And if we're not, then we correct it. If it involves repentance, and we repent. If it's something we just need to start doing or work on, then we start doing those things and we start working on it. And now I'm going to pause here for a second, because I'm talking an awful lot. I'm going to let Brother Matt say anything he'd like as we keep continue this idea of looking at, you know, taking inventory of yourself. Brother Matt.
Oh, man, you're not talking a lot, dude. You're doing good. It's all good. But taking inventory yourself, I mean, you brought up so many things of even like a buddy of mine brought up one point of taking inventory yourself every day, like list off how your day's going to go, what you're going to do, and kind of you're taking inventory yourself. You're kind of what you're doing is, and you put those into perspective and you say, hey, how am I going to work for Christ today? How am I going to work for the Lord today? And that's one thing too. We need to ask ourselves, like, there's questions. Are we bearing fruit for Christ? Are you developing habits, attitudes day by day, which will make you a better Christian and a worker for Christ? You got to go through your day as you get up. I mean, do you take inventory? Do you study the scripture daily? Do you show kindness to others? And you're talking about that Kyle Korver. How he, and that's back on ego, is, and by the way, he plays for the Milwaukee Bucks, just letting you know. Yeah, I got that on there. But I mean, just looking at that, is he is one of the best 3-point shooters in the game, but he's not out there showing it. It's kind of like he's humble, right? He's humble. He's grateful for being there. And that's what you notice about people. He could have a big ego. He could be, I'm a big NBA player, blah, blah, blah. But he doesn't. And that's where you know where somebody's heart is. It's, hey, this is a game, man. And that's the way I view it, too. And I tell my kids when we're playing, when they play baseball, football, volleyball, whatever it is, it's a game. I want you to go out there and do your best and win. But I don't want them to be strutting their stuff when they do something good. Just act like you've been there before. I remember Marcus Allen, running back. He would always just, him and Barry Sanders would always just give the ball back when they scored a touchdown. Everybody asked, well, what do you see that for? You got to act like you've been there before. And one thing Marcus Allen heard him say was, and I've been there a lot of times, but you got to act like you've been there. That's kind of like with Christianity. We can't be boastful and be like, kind of like what you said about certain preachers, how they, hey, I've done this, I've done this, I work here, I've done this many. And that's just like us. I mean, when we get like in my work environment, I mean, there's things that you could list off. Well, I'm this, I'm certified in this, I'm this and this. But what does that matter? My customers want it to be fixed. And when I'm sitting there listening to a preacher, I want to hear the word. I want to hear what you have to say. I don't mean to be meaner, but I don't really care where you've worked before or what you've done. I mean, that's great. But when you're listing it off and it becomes like a 10 to 15 minute thing of where you've been, you kind of get put off, right? So, I mean, I just go back on taking inventory yourself. Back to that is, we just need to, maybe it takes listing out your day, what you're going to do today. You know, hey, I'm going to wake up and study Proverbs. I don't know, study something this morning, and then I'm going to do this and this, because I'm a list person. I like to mark off things on my list. And when I don't have a list handy, I'm just like, I'm all in shambles. But I think what we need to do is we just need to take inventory of our lives. That's what we need to do to become better Christians in our daily walk. So,
you know, and that's right. The best way we can improve is to constantly examine ourselves. You know, the Apostle Paul talks about that very same thing. We examine ourselves to whether we are in the faith, taking inventory yourself, the same idea. You know, we look into, you know, the mirror and look and see how we're living, and we make corrections. And sometimes they're not easy ones. Sometimes we realize, boy, I have some things I need to change, or you reflect on things you've done or things you're thinking about doing, and you make the necessary changes. And that's just how it is. I don't care how long you've been in Christian. There's going to be that times you say, boy, I got to make some big changes. And one of the things we have here is we ask the question, are we bearing fruit for Christ? Are we developing habits and attitudes every day, which will make for a better Christian and workers for Christ? And we try to become, and I say this sometimes, and when I say this, I don't say it because I think, well, you know, I'll do this every single day, because I don't. There's going to be things that going to get in the way that shouldn't. And so it's always a struggle, but we should strive, I say, to be better tomorrow than we were today. We try to make, even if it's a small step, which to me, any step is not a small step when you're talking about spiritual things. But we make those steps so that tomorrow we're better than we were the day before, and we just keep building and building, and we're gonna make mistakes. We're going to get derailed from time to time, but we keep making those steps and taking those steps to get better each and every day. And you know, it's just like athletes. You know, they work hard so that the next day they'll be a little bit better, and the next day they'll be a little bit better. You know, and on it goes. But we have to do our very best, for that. And we think about, you know, some good points and some bad points in our life. We can think about, we think about faith, we think about virtue, we think about knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity, those types of things. Those are all things that we call, some Christian characteristics that we should have. And so we work on those things, and none of those things are easy. You know, we talked about that before. And so we do our very, very best to try to add those things to our life. And it's a constant thing that we're always going to be working on. In my opinion, we're never going to get to the point where we say, okay, I've done everything I'm supposed to do. I can't do that. No, that doesn't happen. It's an everyday thing. It's an everyday effort. And, we have here, Brother Matt has here for us to think about some three ideas, and I like the three rules of life: know thyself, express thyself or yourself, and deny thyself. And those are good things to think about. Know who you are, express yourself. I think about that. Maybe he can elaborate on this more in a second, but I think about the idea there being that we show by our actions who we are. Hopefully it's going to be that servant of Christ. And then we deny thyself, meaning we are putting God always first. So we know who we are. We show the world who we are, Christian, and then we deny those sinful things so we can remain that faithful Christian before God. Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment and let Brother Matt add anything you like as we continue looking at, being this one who is very, very aware of ourselves and taking inventory of ourselves and all those things that we've been looking at this morning. Brother Matt?
Yeah, I'm thinking about bearing of the fruit of what you were talking about earlier. And one thing that, as we become Christians, one thing that's always been hard for me was to, I'll be honest with you, even making this podcast, and when you asked me to do it, it was like, are you sure you want me to do it? You know, you're kind of like, you second guess yourself. You're like, and then it's kind of hard for me to put myself out there. Like even, say, teaching a high school class, you're just like, can I really do that? You know, or maybe even thinking about doing like a Devo or something. You're like, I don't know, man, can I get up there in front of people? But you look about it, my words aren't there today, but you think about it, and Satan is always trying to drag you down. He's always trying to, when you think of something good, he's always there to be like, nah, you can't do that. You know, if I'm bearing fruit for the kingdom, I got God on my side, and I think that's amazing, and that's, and I have an awesome wife who kind of has always got my back. She's like, of course you can do that. You know, you like to talk, so why can't you? You know, you know, but bearing fruit is just, it's an amazing thing when you can see that, you know, even when people say, man, that was really awesome. I really appreciate what you said. And you're like, you did? You don't, sometimes, and that's the non-ego, I guess, in all of us. You're like, really? You got what I said? That's pretty awesome. You know, but one thing is you can't take that ego and sit back. You got to do something with it. Also, too, you're talking about the good points and the faith, virtue, charity. And with all those come, there's a lot of bad points, too, that we need to shed off. And those come from the devil. And, you know, but faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. That's how God wants us to be. Right? Those should be all our good points of, they should be on our list daily, right? We should have all of those daily on our list. One thing that could be hard is brotherly kindness sometimes, because there are people in this world that will make you mad. And that's a hard one for me. And patience is hard for me too, because I'm a go-getter and I don't like to sit around and do nothing. So, but back to the rules that you have. Know thyself. I got little notes here that says, know who and what you stand for. Know who and what you stand for. Who do you stand for? Do you stand for God, or are you on the other spectrum? Express yourself. Show who you are and who God made in his image. We need to be mindful of that God made us in his image. That's pretty kind of mind numbing to think about, you know. And then deny thyself, which is said in Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take upon his cross and follow me. What does that mean? To leave the worldliness behind, focus on things above? You know, that's pretty powerful to think about. Sometimes we don't want to leave the worldliness behind because it's so fun and it's so great and it's so awesome. But then we think, you know, well, all this stuff is going to come to an end. You know, like we've talked about maybe in prior podcasts of people building up their monetary things, their material things. And it's like, you never see a hearse following you never see a U-Haul following a hearse, right? You never see that. What, people are going to go get buried with their stuff, okay. But you can't take it with us. It's all going to burn, you know. So what we need to do is, the bottom line is, leave worldliness behind and focus on things above. Back to you, Russ.
You know, and we think about, and we've mentioned worldliness so many times in these lessons, but I think one of the reasons we do that is because it's such a big factor in everything that we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no way that it's not. You know, like you said there, know yourself, express yourself, and deny yourself. Those are all good things for us to think about each and every day. And but it's always the hardest part is to put those things in action. You know, to deny yourself the temptations that the world has around us, to be able to maintain who you're supposed to be around the world when everyone else is vastly different from what, you know, the New Testament talks about, and to you know, remember who we're supposed to be. When I was dating Lisa, I remember I was going and picking her up. This is a long time ago. I won't tell you how long it was. But anyway, she had returned from college. She, you know, she was there for, I think it was 2 years or something. She had moved back where I was living and began to work there. And she's living with her parents while she was living there. And so I'd go to her parents' house and pick her up. You can imagine what it's like to pick up, you know, your date from Chuck's house. But anyway, he'd always tell her as we left, remember who you are. And I wasn't even a Christian at that time. And I thought, I know what that guy's saying. And part of me thought, he thinks I'm a dirtbag. But the other part of me thought, he wants her to remember who, you know, who she is, you know, as a Christian. I got it. I understood that. And so, you know, and what happens now? Well, here we are. All these years later, you know, with a 11-year-old daughter, what do I say to her when she goes to someone's house? Remember who you are. You know? Yeah. I'm like, I'll have to reword that. So I'm not exactly like him. But anyway, the idea is the same. Remember, you know, who you are. And we're going to make mistakes. It's just part of it. And we have to be willing to correct that and then, you know, work harder. You know, I think one of the things we have to realize is the world wants you to fail, and then they want you to give up. We're going to fail as Christians, but we cannot give up. We're going to make mistakes. When I say fail, I don't mean it's going to be just a complete, utter disaster. And if it is, if something just horrendous happens, everybody can repent and crawl back out of it. The world wants you to stay down there so that you feel bad and so they can badmouth you so that they feel better about themselves. And not that we want the world to feel bad. We want the world to come to the truth. But we cannot allow ourselves to make a mistake to stay beaten down. I remember, and I'm a big Rocky fan. I'm a nerd like that. But one of my favorite lines of all time probably is when he talks to his older son in this movie. And his son is, you know, getting upset, not understanding why he's doing this, going in for this last fight, blah, 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 you know, all this stuff. And he told him that, I'm going to paraphrase, because I don't remember all of it, that life wasn't all sunshine and rainbows, that you're going to get hit. And it's not about, you know, it's not about how hard you can get hit, but if it's hard you can get hit and keep moving forward, the idea of not giving up. Was that he worded it a little bit differently, a little more inspiring, but that was the idea. You keep moving forward. And so, you know, there's a scene in the fight where things aren't going good, and he reminds himself, what did you tell a kid? Keep moving forward. Well, as a Christian, that's what we have to do. We have to keep moving forward. We're going to take some hits. We're going to have some bad experiences, maybe because we've done something wrong, maybe because someone else has done something wrong and affects us. But we shouldn't allow that to hinder us from being a faithful Christian. There's nothing on the planet, number one, happens that should tell us, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. That should never happen. We're going to make mistakes. Other people are going to make mistakes. There are great examples of Christians. There are those who are struggling to be a good example. You are good examples all the time. So we have to realize that. But we shouldn't allow that to say, you know what, I'm not going to be a faithful Christian anymore because this person is not as faithful as they should be. That's crazy. That's crazy. But that's what the world wants you to do. They want you to become as negative, really, as negative as they are. That's what I think of. Anyway, I'm going to stop there for a moment and let Brother Matt add it. He'd like you.
Yeah, I just want to read this thing, like part of the applying the lesson. It is only by use or exercise that you develop or add the right kind of spiritual power in your life. Just as an athlete adds power to his muscles through hard and vigorous exercise, so the Christian adds spiritual muscle to his character by constant and careful practice. The Christian graces, which we've talked about, need to be kept in constant view and must form a part of the mental picture a person holds to himself each day. He must daily think of himself as being patient, temperate, godly, charitable, etc. So all these Christian graces we talk about, we need to keep in check, right? Faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And, I mean, I like what Chuck would tell you is, or tell Lisa was, you know, remember who you are, right? And we need to remember who we are in our daily lives of we are God's children. We are. We have a loving God who cares for us, who wants us to he wants us to choose him. We're not mindless robots going around this earth and saying, yep, God's going to take us. God loves us. God loves us. We're doing whatever, you know, God's not playing chess with our lives. We know that. But one thing we have to realize is, he gave us choices. Could you maybe when, you know, you pick up your date or whatever, you guys go and do something bad? Yeah, that's your choice. But if you remember who you are and how you were raised and taking inventory of your daily life and going through these Christian graces, you'll know what you should and shouldn't do. That's just like every day of, you know, is a blessing. And that's what we need to realize of, you know, take not live for the moment. Like, you know, how people say, I'm going to live like this is my last moment. Well, yeah, we don't know when our last moment is. But does that mean go out and spend all your money or do all your whatever drinking and do all that kind of worldly stuff just to just to do it? No, no. We need to live every moment and try and get as many people up to heaven as we can. And I just like that saying of, you know, be who you are. That's a powerful statement. And sometimes we need to point that out to people, of even worldly people, of, you know, who do you, or even ask the question, who do you think you are? How does God view you? Does he view you in this route, or does he view you this way? And give them some things to think about. So, but yeah, the Christian graces are really what we need to try and go through each and every day. So,
you know, I think about also here, like you have mentioned here, Matthew 16, verse 25, where Christ, and this is a big verse. I think sometimes if we're not careful, we go through this pretty quickly, which we're guilty of that, of any kind of responsibility. But if you look at verse 25, verse 24 or 25 of Matthew 16, he says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." And in verse 25, notice what he says here. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Now, at first glance, you think, so if you try to save your life, you're going to lose it. What does that even mean? Well, what Christ is talking about here, if you're trying to save your life in the sense that you're trying to preserve your way of life, if you're trying to preserve, you know, I want to do this and this and this, I'm not going to change certain things, I'm going to keep certain things, and you know, with those things, then I'll keep on following Christ. And I think about the song, when I read that verse, I think about that song we sing sometimes, "None of Self and All of Thee." It may be flip-flopped, and I forget the title, how it's worded, but that's the idea. And it starts off with all of, or none of, was all of self and none of thee, and then it progresses to where it says none of self and all of thee, right? Well, here in verse 25, that's what Christ is talking about. If you're trying to preserve that old sinful life and then trying to follow him at the same time, he says, what happens? Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. And, you know, it's trying to preserve that sinful life. Well, what's going to happen? You're just going to die in your sin. So in verse 25, he goes on to say, but whoever loses his life, that is, he gives up that old life, like the Apostle Paul talks about, the, you know, being dead to sin, having put off the old man. And the same thing here Christ is talking about. Whoever loses his life, he says, now notice, for my sake, will find it. You know, people will change their lives and change who they, you know, things they used to do because they love someone, and so they don't drink anymore, or they don't smoke anymore, or they give up certain things, and those are noble things to do. But here he says in verse 25, whoever loses his life for my sake, means you do these things because of me, not because of someone else. That means, that also tells me that someone who quote unquote obeys the gospel, but they only do so because of a husband or because of a spouse or because of a girlfriend or a boyfriend or because everyone else is going forward, that, and he says, that's not for my sake. That's for everybody else's. You're not actually saving your, finding your life. You're losing it. So that's why he puts in here this idea of whoever loses his life for my sake, meaning I am the reason you do it. And exactly. Really think about it. We have to, that idea, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we try to live a Christian life? Well, why do we make mistakes? Well, because we're imperfect. We do, as I say, put it bluntly, I sometimes do stupid stuff. I'm not always using my head, and sometimes I do something, I think, well, that was dumb. I shouldn't have done that, or maybe I shouldn't have said that, or whatever it is, because we're going to make mistakes. It doesn't matter if you're a preacher or an elder or deacon. Every single person has the ability to make a mistake. The Bible tells us, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all have made mistakes. And I know of a congregation in particular, where one gentleman told me, he said, you know, all the elders went forward this morning, and this was months and months ago, and he said, and they asked for forgiveness from the congregation because they had not been shepherds like they should. And I said, those are the kind of guys that you want. The people who say, you know what, we haven't been doing this right, and we're going to make it correct. That's the kind of heart that you want in people, right? The people say, look, we're not perfect. We may be elders. We may be deacons. We may be preachers. We may be preachers' wives. We may be preacher kids, whatever. We're going to make mistakes. And so we have to, I think one of the ways for us to overcome that is trying to remember why we're doing what we're doing. We do it, as we find in verse 25, we do it for Christ's sake, as he says, for my sake. We do it because we want to go to heaven. We don't want to go to the other place because of all the blessings we have in Christ, because of the, you know, the fellowship, the friendship, the, you know, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins, being able to sit down and pray to God through Christ, who is our mediator. And the list goes on and on and on. So we start thinking about, you know, denying yourself and expressing yourself and knowing yourself and all these things. I think another good point to think about is to remind ourselves, why are we doing this? Because that's what the world asks many times, right? Why are you getting up every Sunday morning and going to Bible class? Why are you getting up, you know, every Sunday night? Don't you know there's a game on? Yes, I'm fully aware there's a game on, but don't worry, my team's going to lose anyway. You know, that's how it is, me and Arkansas for a Denver fan. But anyway, you know, why do you go on Wednesday night? And I think about, you know, why we're doing what we're doing. You know, why do we put ourselves in positions where people are going to have the opportunity to mock us for being a Christian or to mock you because you make a mistake because, hey, you know what? That guy's not perfect. I thought every Christian was perfect. That is not the case. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a very big question. Why do we do what we do? And I'm going to stop for a second and let Matt add anything you like as we continue discussing these points here.
Yeah, like you said, the possibility of losing their life, what he was talking about here was, it was very prevalent back then when he was telling them this. It was a possibility of losing their life for real. I mean, it was a life and death situation, whether you follow Christ or you follow the Jews. I mean, they really had to ponder about that and think about that was, am I going to follow this man who says he's the Christ? But you got to realize they've seen him do all this, and everything was brought to their attention right before their eyes. And I think real discipleship means a real commitment. It's not like a fake commitment where we just, you know, why did I get saved? Like you said, well, my wife wanted me to, or, you know, everybody else was doing it, right? Kind of like the old saying, well, if everybody else was jumping off a bridge, would you? Right? But if we protect, kind of like if we protect ourselves from pain, we begin to die spiritually, right? If we're always constantly thinking of a way to, man, how can I hide this sin? How can I hide this? It starts to eat at you and eat at you. And I think proper discipleship is to get it out there. Like you talked about the elders who came in, you know, and said, hey, we're not doing this right. You know, we ask for forgiveness, you know. I want those guys on my side. I want those people who are willing to go, hey, raise their hand. Hey, that was me. I did the wrong. It was my problem. And I think that's what God's talking, or Jesus is talking about here, is, you know, whosoever desires to save his own life will lose it. Well, if we desire things of the world, you know, I mean, we're not really putting forth the effort to die for Christ. But, you know, and like he says, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. I mean, the disciples, they left everything to follow Christ. I mean, I know when he was getting captured in the Garden of Gethsemane that, you know, they scattered like the sheep, like he told them they would. But then they realized, whoa, this is the Christ. This is, you know, it's like, which I know we have the whole thing. We have the whole Bible to tell us what went on and what's going on, but they didn't, you know, I mean, they had the Old Testament and different things to look at, but could you imagine if you were back then, put yourself in their shoes and somebody came like this, you know, I think, but like you said, we have to put away the worldliness and try and be proper disciples, you know, be proper discipleship, I guess you could say, if that's a word. I'm making words up now, but I just think we have to deny ourselves and we always have to put God number one, no matter what. And we have to know that his ways are well above what we could ever think or do or say, you know. It's kind of like if our lives are turned inward, we lose our intended purpose. If it becomes all about us, we lose God's whole purpose and everything. And when we give our lives to serve Christ, we discover the kind of the purpose of living, right? You kind of find out, wow, this is a better way to be instead of about thyself, right?
Yeah. You know, so sit there. I'll think about also here in Matthew, volume back up. I think about here also in Matthew chapter 19 in verses 16 through 22, where Christ is talking to, well, here verse 16, the Bible says, and one came and said to him, good teacher, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And we know verse 17, he says, when you call me good, no one is good, but one that is God, which is interesting to me that Christ is always going, what? Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God, over and over and over and over. Guys are coming to him, and he's like, glory to God, right? Every time. But if you want to enter into life, he says in verse 17, keep the commandments. He said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I kept from my youth, what do I still lack? Jesus said to him in verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. He had forgotten very clearly why he was doing what he was doing, right? I mean, he obviously had made some very valiant attempts. I mean, he says there in verse 20, he's kept all those things from his youth. What else is he lacking? And when he says in verse 16, what shall I do that I may have eternal life? It sounds like he's trying to ensure he's doing what's supposed to be done. But yet, we see here that Christ sees a very big problem in verse 21, right? He says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor. You have treasure in heaven and come follow me. When you start talking about people's pocketbooks, people get a little iffy sometimes, to put it mildly, right? They can get a little crazy because people don't like to talk about that. But in verse 21, Christ says, you want to be perfect. If you want to be doing what is right and have, you know, nothing is holding you back, basically. That's how I look at it. There's going to be nothing holding you back. He says, sell everything you have. And the young man says here, the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions, which means he went away and he did what? He was upset. He was sad. It doesn't say that he actually sold his goods. It would lean to me more in the favor of the idea that he did not, because he didn't want to give up those possessions. We also read about the story of the farmer, I believe it was, who, you know, had so much, you know, so many crops. He had to build, you know, Bible says he tore down his barns and built greater. And he tried to convince himself that, you know, he has plenty, that, take easy, drink and be merry. And then the Bible tells us, you know, the Lord calls him a fool. Tonight your soul is required of you, you know. Then who shall these things be? Meaning you're going to leave all this behind. You can't take it with you. Why are you storing it all up? You know, it's like what Matt mentioned, you don't see a U-Haul behind the hearse. You know, the Egyptians with their coffins, all their stuff they believe they can take with them. That's a good lesson for us today. Nothing goes with you. Those cars that everyone works, no, I shouldn't say everyone, but so many work so hard to obtain, you don't get to take them with you. You know, all those nice clothes that some people think that's what you have to have, that doesn't get to go with you. Why do we do the things that we do? I think. We have to ask that about being a Christian. You know, why do we try to be faithful to God? But also we have to think about, why do we do other things? Why do we try to impress other people? Why do we try to fit in so hard with certain groups of people? And I think sometimes we have to be real, real honest with ourselves and say, why am I trying so hard to fit in with a certain group of people? They're not wanting me to be in their group or friends or clique or whatever. That's not always a bad thing. I don't think it is at all. You know, find people who actually appreciate your presence and being able to talk with you and those types of things. That's people who I want to be around. And you know, I feel like personally, if I have to try hard to be in your little group, I'm out. I don't want to do that. That's just not me. I want people to like me, to get along with me, those types of things. But at the same time, if I have to try hard, that means to me that's a good chance that I may have to try to change things just to get along with people or to fit in, and I'm not into that. Christ wasn't into that. The apostles were not into that. The faithful people of God in the Old Testament, whether you're talking about men or women, the faithful people of God, they weren't into that. And so, we have to realize or ask that question. Why do we do what we do? And like whatever the Matt has here also is, you know, we talked about this already at length, about what it means to deny yourself, right? It means putting God first and short, right? And here, Matthew 19, 16 through 22 is the same idea. Put God first. You'll say everything you have. Oh, boy. Why did Christ ask that question? Because he knew the heart of the guy. Him being the Son of God, he knew, well, this guy has a problem. I'm going to poke right here. And he did. What happens? A man goes away sad because he has possessions. Christ knew where to put the finger, where to poke people at and say, this is a problem right here. Is it hurt here? It's kind of like a doctor. You ask, he knows, does this hurt? Does this hurt? Christ is going, does this hurt? And what happened? The guy walks away because he had great possessions. But for us today, we have to ask, you know, if we are sensitive in some areas, why? Do we need to change? You know, we examine our lives every day. We're going to find areas we can improve. And I include myself in that as well. There's areas I need to improve in as well. And so it's just something we have to do as a Christian, that we have to do our very best to try to improve each and every day. Talk about denying ourselves, asking the question, why do we do what we're doing? Those types of things. And I'm going to let Brother Matt add anything you like before we close this out. I don't want to move into our next section with just a few minutes left. And so I'm going to let him add anything you like before we close out today.
You're talking about this sold. He basically wanted him to sell his possessions and follow him. In Acts 2:44-45 says, "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all, as anyone had need." And also in 1 Timothy 6, it's 18. It's instructions to the rich is what it says at the top of the Bible. "Let them do good that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share." That's how we should be. No matter how much money we have or things we have, you got to be prepared to work for the kingdom, right? And we got to give like Christ always did, was give glory to God in all things. And that's the fun of it. And I just want to finish with this, like we've been talking about, what does deny thyself mean? To leave the worldliness behind, focus on things above. That's it, right? Give all glory to God. So,
you know, that's exactly right. Now, next week when we come back, next time we'll continue looking at this idea of Christian responsibilities. We'll be moving into the idea of looking at Christian responsibilities in the home. And so I didn't want to start that today because that's a big one. I don't want to start that and then stop, you know, just a two minutes later. But we do want to remind you to, you know, just to, when we think about what we already talked about, to try to work our way through these things, you know, the rules of life and this idea of adding what we've already talked about here, going back to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7, you know, those faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, all those things, taking inventory of ourselves. If we can do all that, you know, we're going to improve dramatically if we can work on those types of things. And none of those things are easy. But, you know, we have to, why don't we do what we do? You know, ask the question, is heaven going to be worth it? Yeah,
it is.
Create a place like Earth for us to dwell, and he's creating a place that's going to be infinitely more enjoyable for those that's designed for those who only for those who love him. You know, it's hard to put those things into our mind. You know, that's why we read there in the book of Revelation when heaven is described in such ways, physical ways, to help us understand how beautiful it is. We know it's a spiritual place that's given physical aspects, help us understand just how beautiful it is. And so we really answer the question, is it going to be worth all this work? You better believe it. Okay, we're going to stop there today. We do thank you for being here with us on Mornings for the Master, and for listening to us here on Mobile Media as well, with the program name Uncensored Dads, the Uncensored Word. And that's how we started, so we're going to keep that name as well. So we're a twofer. Anyway,
we're a twofer.
So we do thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. We hope to see you again next time.